True story that inshallah is not true. Definitely not true. They said once there was shaitan. Shaitan came to a church. When he came to the church, there's a lightning bolt and the shaitan shows up. So everybody starts panicking. Everybody's running. Oh my God, shaitan's here. And there's one lady sitting in the front and she doesn't move at all. Everybody else is screaming and shaitan's looking so happy. Everybody's scared. Then he looks, he notices the lady. He said, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "Yeah, I know who you are." She said, "Aren't you panicked? Aren't you afraid?" She said, "No." He said, "Why not?" She said, "Why should I be? I've been married to your brother for 30 years. So it's a professional kind of way of handling those challenges and those stresses. Now, in addition to that inner feeling that you and I are supposed to have, there's another responsibility when it comes to that itminan and that peace. We're also supposed to make other believers calm. We're supposed to reassure others. We're supposed to speak words of faith to them. What shaitan wants is to take away that inner peace. I panic, I start making bad decisions. The verse of the Quran is this. So Surah 3, verse under 175, it says this. Innama dhalikumu shaitan. That is only shaitan, humans or the jinn. Yukhawwifu awliya'ah. He makes his awliya, his friends, his awliya, he makes them afraid. He makes them nervous. He makes them panic. How does God want the believer to feel? It says, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ. Don't fear them. وَخَافُونِي إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. You only fear me if you are believers. So as believers, instead of playing the role of shaitan, making the person panic, they're making bad steps, we also want to calm that person down. That was one of the big jobs that Imam Khomeini, may Allah have mercy on his soul, one of the great jobs that he did when the revolution began. And all of those other victories were a result of this. One of the things he was constantly telling the nation was the idea that you're capable. You can do this. You're up to it. And the people would be hearing that from Imam Khomeini. From the outside, this is a situation, we're fighting the whole world. Everybody's against us. They're sanctioned. Normally, for normal people, they would panic. Imam Khomeini, speaking words of faith. You're capable. You can do this. It's going to be all right. You do your responsibility. So one big part of it is us also not only having that itminan, but giving others that itminan. The other part of it is making sure that no one is distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by us. I'm reminding others, myself and others, of Allah's promises. It's going to be okay. In the end, it's going to work out for the believer. The other one is, in my personal interactions with others, I don't want anybody to be distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, some people, their behavior is such, instead of believers feeling safe around them, they're worried about them. I'll give you an example. It's a hadith, actually. Defining what it means to be a Muslim. What does it mean to be a Muslim? Al-Muslim. Very easy. The Arabic of it's easy. Al-Muslim. Man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadih. The Muslim is that person who other Muslims feel safe from his tongue and his hand. There's sometimes, because of my words, because of how I act around the person, I'm not easy to get along with. Other people are worried about my tongue or, God forbid, my hand. I'll get out of line. I'll get violent. So now, what is this peace for in Islam? What do we need that inner peace? So God grants the believers inner peace. We're supposed to make sure others also feel peace. We remind them of Allah's promises. Why is it so necessary? What do we get from it? What happens is that we're going to use this inner peace to grow our faith. We use this inner peace to grow our faith, to develop moral akhlaq, right? Moral traits. One of the big things that we're told to do if we want to train children is to make sure that they feel, because remember, the first 7 years are the most sensitive years of the training of the child, and then after that, the time of bulugh, right, when they become physically mature. But what happens is, if I want to do this work of tarbiyah, creating that safe atmosphere, that safe and peaceful atmosphere. For those of us who are thinking even bigger on the global level, I remember recently when the leader was speaking, he was talking about, this was before the troubles had started in Iraq and Lebanon. This is before they just did the same thing in Iran, just now. They just did the same thing in Iran. The leader was over there giving a statement. So one of the things that the leader said was talking about the importance of security. He said, if you don't have security, you can't do anything else that's beneficial. It affects education, it affects business. You need that security to start off with. For us now, on a smaller scale, in our families, right, that peace, that security, we're trying to use it to get to God, to develop those moral traits, to move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the verse of Quran, if we want to look at it later, is Surah 48. You can follow along also. Surah 48 and verse number 4. This is what Allah says in the Quran. Huwallazi. So we're talking about the purpose now of peace, the purpose now of tranquility. Huwallazi. God is the one. Anzala sakinata fi qulubil mu'minin. He made sakina, that peace, descend into the hearts of the believers. Why did God do that? Why was that so important? Liyazdadu imanam ma'imanihim. In order that they increase in iman to the iman that they already had. They already had iman. They're mu'mineen, they're believers. Having that peace helps us develop that greater iman. Because iman has levels. Iman has levels. So we want to go over and we want to develop that. Now, the next thing is the million-dollar question. The million-dollar question that, okay, now, alhamdulillah, I've understood what peace is. I've understood how it's useful. I understand my responsibilities. The million-dollar question is how to get this. There's a story that they tell. They said about these mice. That once there was these mice, and they're living in a store. And things were good. They were enjoying themselves, having food. They loved it. And what happened is the owner of the store realized mice running all around. He said, this is terrible. I've got to get a cat. Once he got a cat, then the mice life wasn't wonderful anymore. The cat's hunting them, chasing after them, and these things. What they did is they said, okay, look, we've got to sit down, we've got to have a talk. So the chief of the mice gathered all the mice. He said, look, we've got this problem with the cat. He's hunting us down. What do we do? One of the real smart mice got up. He said, you know what we need to do? I know this problem with this cat. This cat, when he walks, his feet are padded. We can't hear him coming. What we need to do is we need to put a bell on the cat. The other mice started cheering. Yes, alhamdulillah, that's a great thing to do. And then kind of one of the wise mice who was sitting in the back said, okay, who will put the bell on the cat? The million-dollar question. So what we're going to do now, the practical steps for trying to acquire iman, actually it's based on our last conversation. Right? Each one of these talks, inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq, they're going to be based on what we learn and then apply in the other section. So what we learned last time was the idea that as believers, our purpose of creation is to worship God. Our purpose of there's going to be a reason. How are we going to get this itminan, achieve greater levels of it? What is it for? What's the purpose of creation? It's to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a beautiful dua of Imam Sajjad. So this is what the Imam says, right? He says, "Wasta'milni." So God, take or make use of me. Use me in this way. "Wasta'milni bima tas'aluni ghadan an." Help me or use me in the way of those things that you're going to ask me about tomorrow. The purpose of my creation. Why was I here? What are you going to ask me about tomorrow? That's how I want your help. I want you to help me do those things. He continues, "Wastafrigh ayami, make my days free, free up my time, fima khalaqtani lah, free up my time for those things that you've created me for." So our purpose was to worship God. If we're doing our responsibilities, what we learned last time was the idea of my whole life revolves around Allah. What does He want? What did He say to do? If I do that, no matter what I do or what the results are, I'm never going to feel exhausted or defeated. The purpose was God. The purpose was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most beautifully illustrated in the words of Imam Khomeini, there's something all of us learned, and again, we have to all apply. Imam Khomeini taught us this principle. He said that we have not been commanded to produce results. We've been commanded to do our responsibility. Why am I here? What was the focus? God, Allah, responsibility, takleef. I do that, the rest is in Allah's hands. After that, sometimes what happens, this is a reality Quran gives us, sometimes the results are not what I want. Allah says this in the Quran. Surah 4, verse number 19. فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Maybe you might dislike something. You did your responsibility. You moved in a certain direction. You might dislike the results, but maybe Allah has put, you might hate something, but Allah has put great good in that, a lot of khair in that. So again, that focus. What was that? This whole thing was about God. That was the reason I was here, the reason I'm doing this, the reason for my activities is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another beautiful hadith from the Imam. This is from the first Imam. He says this, إِذَا نَزَلَ بِكَ مَكْرُوهُ. If something that you don't want happens to you, it happens to all of us, something that I don't like, a challenge that I'm facing, I'm not happy with, it's a makruh, it's not something I'm pleased with, the Imam says this, he says, فَانْظُرْ, you look, فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكَ حِيلَ فَلَا تَعْجَزْ. He says, if there's a way out, so the first thing you do, you look to your responsibility. If there's a way out, if there's something I can do, then you go over and you do that, and you are not ajiz, you're not weak, you don't sit back, you're not lazy. You do your responsibility. He says, وَأَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي حِيلَ. If it's one of those things that right now I can't change, I can't fix, then after that the Imam says, فَلَا تَجْزَعْ. At this stage, don't get overwhelmed by grief, don't panic, don't have a pity party. You do your responsibility. Now there's a secret to all of this. And this is directly related to that inner feeling of peace. The secret to all of this is that you and I are going to have to learn if we want to experience peace, right? So the first part was the idea of I remember the goal, what I'm here for. That's my purpose of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, am I doing my responsibility? That was the first one. The next one, the secret is this. I want to experience peace. What else do I have to have? The next one is this. You and I, we're going to cover different verses and even a hadith about this. The secret is to become one with Allah's system. Don't fight God, don't play God. Accept your role in the universe. Become one with His system. That's the only way to experience peace. I'll give you a couple of verses of the Quran. Both of these, they need pondering over, but let's look at them. The first one is Surah 13, and it's verse number 28. Allah says this in the Quran, أَلَّا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Know this, that it is only with the reminder of Allah, being close to God. Because we don't just mean dhikr as in doing tasbih, right? Doing what God says, practicing His religion. I'm going to give you the hadith later. Being one with Him, that the hearts find peace. One big reason people become depressed, get anxious, get upset, is there's a rebellion in them against Allah's system. And in the end, it's only going to be the way, I'm going to give you the hadith. So anybody who tries to fight something that God has, fight God's system, is going to be in big trouble. For instance, let's say that I want to guide somebody. I'm dealing with a family member. And I want to bring this person to the right path. Bring them to the right path. If I assume the role of being the Hadi, I'm the guide. I will make you a Muslim. I've taken on a role that God hasn't given me. Because God told me in the Quran, right? He told Rasulullah, He says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنْ Allah يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. You don't guide the one, He tells Rasulullah this, you don't guide the one who you love, however Allah guides whoever He pleases. What's my mistake now? I'm not one with Allah's system. I've taken on a role that God hasn't given me, and then I'm so angry because the results are not what I want. Another time I'm saying, I'm not God. I do my responsibility. Okay? Another verse of Quran, and then after that, the hadith. The next verse of the Quran, so the first one was telling us the only way to find peace, it's not money, it's not wealth, it's not a career, it's not buying a house, it's not getting married. None of those things give us that true peace except bi dhikrillah, right? That's one. The other one is another one that's a little bit scary. So this one is Surah 20, Surah Taha, and it's verse number 124. God says this, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي. The person who turns away from my... So the first one said the only way for peace was to become one with God's system. The other one is saying that whoever turns away from my reminder, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ذَنْكَ. The person who is at war with God's system, not at peace, not happy with God and the way that he's doing things, this person will have a miserable life. And then God says, وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. We'll raise him blind on the day of judgment. Here things are going to be tough. Okay? So now what I want to do, now that we kind of had the concept, let's illustrate it with a hadith. This hadith is our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to Nabi Dawood. Nabi Dawood. So he tells Nabi Dawood this. He says, Ya Dawood, turidu wa urid. Dawood, you want and I want. Remember the principle. The only way to experience peace was to become one with Allah's system, to do things the way he said. He says this, you want and I want. وَلَا يَكُونْ إِلَّا مَا أُرِيدُ. In the end, it'll only be what I want. He says, فَإِنْ أَسْلَمْتَ لِمَا أُرِيدُ. If you submit to I want, I'm going to talk about different areas that this might apply. If you submit to what I want, you don't try and be, I'm God, the way I want it, I imagined, I envisioned my life is like this. That's different. I don't like, I'm not comfortable with, no. If you submit to what I say, أَعْطَيْتُكَ مَا تُرِيدُ. I'll give you what you want. You submit though. وَإِنْ لَمْ تُسْلِمْ لِمَا أُرِيدُ. But let's say you're fighting back. This is one area of the deen I don't like. I'm not comfortable with. I'm fighting back. He says, أَتْعَبْتُكَ فِيمَا تُرِيدُ. First of all, I'm going to make things difficult in what you want. And then in the end, ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونْ إِلَّا مَا أُرِيدُ. In the end, it's only my system, my way. So anybody who, it could be when it comes to unfortunate events. It could be the laws of Islam and the roles that Allah has given us. It could be my financial, whatever it is. God's, he's making it very clear. You want, I want is only going to be the way that I want. We're going to have to learn to retrain the mind. To retrain the mind. To accept whatever God wants and know that that's good. Things are going to be good in the end. What Ayatollah Behjat used to say was this. If people would trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the same amount that infants trust their parents. Just that amount. I have two little boys. They're not worried. Me as a parent, how am I going to make it happen? Why aren't my boys worried? As long as mommy's here, daddy's here, I could care less. They don't have the same stresses, concerns that we have. He says if we could trust God as much as a child trusts its parents, our problems would be resolved. Rasulullah, this is what they say about Rasulullah. They said, the sixth Imam says this, no matter what happened, the Prophet would never say, I wish it had been different. You know how many people waste time revisiting the past, rehashing it. I was so dumb, beating myself up. No matter what happened, the Prophet would never say it. So it's retraining the mind. Retraining the mind. I want to give us a beautiful verse of, it's a hadith. Right, but it's a verse of the Quran. In this hadith, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, is going to be helping us to retrain the mind. He's going to tell Abu Dharr that there's one verse of the Quran. If the people would act on this one verse, their problems would be resolved. Let's look at this verse. So it's actually, it's piece of one and a piece of another, the actual thing. So let's look at the hadith. Ya Aba Dhar, so speaking to Abu Dhar, he says, لَوْ أَنَّ النَّاسِ كُلَّهُمْ أَخَذُوا بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. if the people, all of the people, would take this one verse, لَكَفَتْهُمْ, it would be enough for them. Their problems would be resolved. They would have that peace. And then he starts quoting the verse. It's from Surah Talaq, and it's verses number 2 and 3. He says this, وَمَنْ يَتَّقْ, each one of these parts are important. I'm going to try and demonstrate, inshallah, later. It says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, the first part. Whoever has taqwa, this believer, this mu'min or mu'mina, does what their responsibility is, Allah will make a way for this person. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and God will provide for this person from where they do not expect. مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, whoever trusts in Allah, Allah will suffice that person. He will be enough for that person. Last one. This part is also important. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ, Allah always achieves His purpose. When Allah sets out to do something, can anybody stand in the way of God, keep it from happening, prevent it from happening? So what God wants from us, brothers and sisters, is kind of retraining the mind. My focus was God. The only concern I have is identifying my responsibility and then doing it, whatever that is. Right? It doesn't matter to God what the problem is. We'll talk about the secret later. It doesn't matter to God. It might be I'm trying to get married. It might be financial issues. It might be marital issues, divorced. Somebody walked out on me. It might, whatever it is, I'm dealing with long-term health issues. Someone in my family is an addict. I'm trying to bring them back to different. We have all different tests. The tests don't matter to God. What does matter to God is that we have tried to identify what our taklif is, and we do our responsibility. That first part of the verse. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, the person who has taqwa, who does the responsibility, Allah will make a way for this person. So it's not like that story I heard. I heard a story, they said that there was this once, this man, it's not true, inshallah. This man, he died, he's about to die, but he's very stingy, unfortunately. Bakhil, stingy. So what happened was, just before he died, he made his wife promise him, he said that $50,000 that I saved, I want you to bury it with me. Reluctantly, the wife agreed. The funeral happened, and then the body was in the casket. Just before they closed the casket, then they saw the wife come over with a small wooden box, and she put it inside the casket. So her friend was standing there. She said, "You really buried that money?" She said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. I can't lie." She said, "You mean to tell me you gave away $50,000? She said, "Yeah. I wrote him a check." Now, what Islam wants from us is the idea of doing, now I'm trying to find a way out. What is my taklif? What is my duty? As long as I do that, then that's going to be enough. That's what. And then the other one is that belief, right? That, as it says in the last part, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ, nothing's out of the control of God. It's all under control. It's going to work out. It'll be fine in the end. There's a story they tell in Iran. They say that once there was an ant, and a flood was happening. So this ant is getting swept away by the flood. So the ant is over there floundering on the water. He's screaming. He's trying to save himself. And then he starts shouting. He says, "The world is being flooded." Struggling. There's another ant. He's on dry land. So he's looked over and he said, "The world's not being flooded. The flood's carrying you away. The world's fine. God's in control. God has everything under control." So now I want to go over and bring all of these principles together in one true story. The true story is about one of our shuhada, a man named Shahid Burnusi. So this individual was a person of taqwa. He was a person of taqwa. They give the story before the revolution. Before the revolution, he was in the army. Sometimes when you're in the army, they give you an easy task. His easy task was that they wanted him to go to the colonel's house and to serve over there. So he Instead of being on the base, you're serving the colonel's house. What happens, though, is that the colonel's wife, unfortunately, she wasn't careful about the issues of mahram and non-mahram and these dressing and these kind of things. He was afraid for his taqwa. It was the easy mission. Everybody would want to have that. He left. He ran away. He went back to the base. Now, in the military, you don't get to say no, whatever the mission is. So on that particular base, there were 20 toilets. 20 toilets. And they would have soldiers, four soldiers would go over, and they would clean out the toilets and carry the waste out into the desert. That would be for punishment. They made him do the job of four people. For that part of the base, he was over there cleaning up the whole section of the toilets for the base. After a while, they figured, oh, I guess you've had enough now. They said, you want to go back? Go back to the house? He said, look, if I have to do this for the rest of the time that I'm serving in the military, I'm not going back to that house. I'm not going to put my taqwa in danger. I'll carry Najas out into the desert if that's the job. That's what I do. They got tired. After punishing him for about 20 days, they got tired. They'll, you know, just go back to your thing. Now, this individual. The story that I'm about to tell you is actually from his second in command. So what happens is he's in the Revolutionary Guard, and he's leading a battalion, Jawadul Aimma. His battalion is Jawadul Aimma. And he would do his responsibility. You know that before they would, like Imam Khomeini said, we've only been commanded to do our responsibility. We haven't been commanded to produce results. So what happened was, before an operation, they would do everything. They would plan. They would do the intelligence, recon, the number of the enemy, what we're supposed to attack, the direction we're supposed to attack from. His second in command is telling the story. He says, what happened was, we went for an operation. Normally, the operation is supposed to be a secret. The operation isn't a secret for the enemy. When we start the operation, we're coming under heavy fire. To the extent that we're not even able to go forward, we all just literally drop to the ground, taking fire from the enemy. It's so extreme, it's like hell on earth, the thing. He says, so I look back. Shay's name, his first name is Abdul Hussein. So second command says, Abdul Hussein, Abdul Hussein. He's calling him, what are we supposed to do? And he says that I don't even see, he's motionless. On the ground, he's just praying, right, under the fire of the enemy. He says, finally, 2 or 3 minutes later, he raises his head. I can see his face. He's soaked with tears. He says, the guy's a Sayyid. He said, Sayyid, I want you to take a couple of the guys who use the RPG. I want you to take them 25 steps to the right. Not more, not less. 25 steps to the right, then after that, go 40 steps forward, and then let loose with the RPGs. So I said, Abdul Hussein, you trying to get me killed? He said, look, do what you're told. Not more. So 25 steps and then 40. Not more, not less. So the Sayyid says, I knew Abdul Hussein wasn't an ordinary mu'min. I'd already experienced that. So I went over to the guys. I took 3-4 guys with their RPGs. Let's go. He said, I was counting my steps carefully, though. 25 to the right, and after that, 40 in front. Once we got to that space, I told the guys with the RPGs, I was like, fire. The guy's like, at what? He said, doesn't matter, just fire. We opened fire, and what happened was, he said it was like an inferno opened. Everything crazy. At this time, Abdul Hussein goes and he attacks with the other members of the battalion from another side. They attack, we attack. Alhamdulillah, things are good. Alhamdulillah, great. The next day, I go back to the battlefield. We're fighting in the night. The next day, I go back to the battlefield and I'm looking at the destruction. He says, I realize that we were in the middle of a minefield. And he had told us exactly where to go so that we didn't get killed in the middle of the minefield. Not only that, the area that he had told us to fire the RPGs, we ended up hitting the commander's base, all these other like important strategic areas. So I came back to Abdul Hussein. I said, Abdul Hussein, what happened? What'd you do? Because next to him, this is like a miracle. He said, I didn't do anything. He said, I kept insisting and kept insisting. No, you got to tell me. Abdul Hussein, tell me. He says, what happened was,
when I went over to do this, we came under that much fire. Abdul Hussein had a very close connection with Lady Fatima. Lady Fatima. He says when we got stuck like that, then I went and I started doing tawassul and calling on the lady and explaining to the lady and telling her that I've done everything I can. I wasn't lazy. I planned it the best that I possibly could. I did everything. These men are my responsibility, but I don't have any other way. You help. He said, Lady Fatima told me, go 25 steps to the right and then 40 to the left. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So again, for us, the idea of the practical, doing our responsibility, God's going to take care of the rest. We do, inshallah, our taklif. Inshallah, we end with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah. Yeah.